The defendant stands accused of gross negligence, 2 counts of medical malpractice, and 3 counts of necromancy. Court is now in session. Judge Meridian presiding. Opening statements may begin. Prosecution, you have the floor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor and people of the jury, I am Attorney Caldwell Cold, appearing on behalf of the plaintiffs in this case. My clients have all experienced serious injury and trauma as a result of the defendant's blatant disregard for their lives, their safety, and the standard practices of magic and medicine. When we arrive in a hospital, we expect to be cared for. We expect healing. Ms. Fairchild's actions have shaken not only my clients, but our very society's trust in medical institutions. Do we want to trust our lives, or the lives of our loved ones, to the person who did this? To the people who let this happen?
Your Honor and people of the jury, my name is Slate Morrison, representing the defendant. This case is unprecedented, that much is certain. It is the first time in centuries that someone has been charged with necromancy. And you may have arrived here today expecting to see someone power-hungry, someone with a dark ability and will to use it. Montaneris, come again. But as you will learn in the course of this trial, that is far from the truth. The young woman sitting here has been misguided, saddled with abilities she did not ask for, seeking only to help the people around her. There's no skeletal armies, no curses or robbed graves. Just a girl, still learning, doing her best, making a mistake. I seek to ask you, in her position, what would you have done?
Ms. Fairchild, please approach the stand. Do you swear your testimony is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear.
Please state your name for the record.
Memory Fairchild.
You may be seated, Ms. Fairchild.
All right. Memory, what is your job?
I'm a medical student at Freestone University. It's my 3rd year there.
And how do you like it so far?
In general, or my 3rd year specifically?
Just in general to start with.
Okay. Well, it's stressful. I mean, it's med school. Of course it's stressful. There's a lot of studying, competition, pressure. I didn't really like that side of things, but I thought it was all pretty interesting. The subject, I mean. Well, I guess if I didn't find it interesting, I wouldn't have stuck with it. The clinicals are more stressful because it stops being so theoretical, but that's also what makes them good, I guess. There's less book work and note cards, and instead you start being able to help people and do good.
So when you started your first clinical rotation there, you were excited to help patients?
Of course! That's sort of the goal when you're wanting to be a doctor.
Your clinical rotation was at the Caltrop Memorial Hospital in the intensive care unit. Is that correct?
Yes. The patients there need, well, intensive care. There were a lot of difficult cases. Most people end up there have failures across multiple organ systems and need life support.
Of course. You started working at Caltrop Hospital on May 25th, yes?
Yes.
Could you please describe your first day working at the hospital for me?
It was my first day of clinicals, first time working with patients, and I had honestly hoped that my first clinical would be in a different field. Something less demanding, I guess. And I was nervous about working under Dr. Gardens. This rotation was infamous. I mean, she's the best in her field. Probably knows more about how the physical and the magical interact than anyone else in the country. and everyone said that she was a tough supervisor with no patience for mistakes or confusion. They said that she didn't play favorites like some attendings might, but when you're on rotation with her, you could either get on her level or get out. Aren't you even a little worried?
No, of course not. I've been ready for this for weeks.
Right. Of course not.
Hey, dude, chill out. It'll be fine. There's no way we're the worst students to ever show up here.
I guess. But still, we'll be working with Dr. Gardens.
What? That's what I'm excited about, learning from the best and all that.
Yeah, but...
All right. Welcome, all of you. I'm Dr. Gardens. While you are on rotation here, you will be charged with two patients each. You will monitor their condition, suggest plans for treatment, and in some cases, administer said treatment. These people will be your primary focus. However, you are expected to have a broader understanding and familiarity with all of the cases in our wing. You will be under my supervision and will report to me. You may not be full doctors yet, but I do not accept any substandard work, distractions, or negligence. You are here to do a job, and I expect you all to do it well. At the nurse station, you will find the names and details of your charges. Review their case files and be ready to start the rounds at 8 o'clock. Questions? Excellent. Now get to work.
Helvetica Redway, 58, and Absinthe Mulligan, 35. Okay, so, Miss Redway. Reason for admission, acute GI bleeding, and hypotension. Initially treated with vessel-repairing spells to stem the bleeding. Diagnosis revealed multiple points of bleeding, resolved with surgical treatment. Pre-existing conditions. Increased risk of complications. 2 weeks to post-surgery observation. All right. Seems straightforward enough. Mr. Mulligan was admitted with severe brain trauma from a cranial gunshot? Oof. So, initially treated in the ER before transferral. Medical coma, upcoming surgery. Wait, what? Hey, Reed? Do both of your patients have their full medical history, their conditions and stuff?
Huh? Yeah, looks like it.
Okay. I think some of my pages got lost because none of the medical history is here.
Really? That's weird. You should probably go ask Dr. Gardens about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go do that.
Come in.
Hi, Dr. Gardens?
What do you need, Miss Fairchild?
Right. Sorry, I was just reading my case files, and, I'm not sure. Maybe I missed something. I'm sorry. I just can't find the patient's prior medical history. I think I might have lost the page with it, or...
Which patient?
Absinthe Mulligan.
Age 35, suffered a gunshot to the brain, brought into our care 3 days ago after stabilization in the ER. What procedure would you use for stabilization?
Stabilization. I guess, well, first you'd have to make sure the patient's airways are open and clear. Mm-hmm. Then, the patient would need spell work to stop the bleeding, though with it being a head wound, I guess you'd probably need additional stored magic to close the blood vessels, or a second healing mage, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then, repairing the surrounding tissue would be the next priority, but since the injury was in the brain, well, that's why the patient was put in a coma, right? So the repairing spell work and surgery could happen in a more controlled environment?
And what complications should you watch for in this scenario?
The patient likely lost a lot of blood by that point, so complications could come from that, like hypovolemic shock or hypothermia and coagulopathy.
And how do you correctly free a brain nerve to restore function?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mulligan's file is missing a medical history because it does not exist in our databases, and he was not conscious at his time of admission into the hospital for us to ask. We only know his name because of the ID card in his wallet.
Oh, okay. Sorry for bothering you.
Not at all. You're dismissed. Be sure to review the magical processes used to reestablish tissue function.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, and Miss Fairchild. I used to work with your mother. She was a credit to our profession and a dear friend to me. And it is one of my deepest regrets that we lost touch over the years. Satine and I had our disagreements, but she was a good person, a good doctor. Anyway, I'm very sorry for your loss.
I thank you.
Yes. You may go now. Close the door on your way out. I will see you during the rounds.
She knew your mother.
That's what she said. She said she was a, and I quote, dear friend to me. But she also mentioned some kind of disagreement. She was pretty vague about it, to be honest.
That's wild. How did you not know about this?
I have no idea. Mom never mentioned knowing her, even when Dr. Garden's research was in the news all the time. I mean, Dr. Garden said they hadn't been in contact anymore, but whenever someone Mom knew published a study or something, it'd always be all, oh, come look at this study. I knew Dr. So-and-so in residency. They're doing great work now. Why wouldn't she mention her if they worked together?
Maybe Dr. Gardens was just exaggerating how well she knew your mom?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I was just happy she wasn't quizzing me on stuff anymore.
Oh yeah, people definitely weren't kidding about her pop quizzes. She started asking me about the effects of frequent magic use on the thyroid when the patient was taking this or that medication, and I honestly had no clue what to say. I can't wait until we get to do these presentations.
Seriously? You liked the questions? I felt like I was going to die.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I definitely felt like an idiot, but it's exciting. Now I know another thing to look out for. And it's not like they're trying to embarrass us. This is when we get to learn these things. How are you not excited?
No, I get all of that. It's a valuable teaching tool, blah, blah, blah. But I'm still not a fan. I don't know, it just stresses me out. I don't like being put on the spot. It makes every thought fly out of my head.
I guess that's fair. I bet you just need to pretend you're taking a test out loud. Or do that trick where you pretend everyone's in their underwear. I've heard that works.
That is not nearly as helpful as you think it is. But thanks for the suggestion, Reed.
Anytime. Oh, seriously? They do not give us a long enough break.
Welcome to the real world, I guess. A hospital never stops, right?
Yeah, well, I could do without the real world for a little while longer.
Mr. Orwat, please assist Nurse Patil with the replacement oxygen tanks in room 207. Miss Fairchild, bring one of the meal trays to Miss Redway and take the blood pressure medication of Mr. Mulligan. Nurse Chambers will assist you in administering the drug when she finishes with her current patient.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Song, prepare Mr. Briggs for another blood transfusion. Miss Lowe, Nurse Reyes, will meet you in Mrs. Evans' room with her screening results.
Hello, Miss Redway. I've brought you... Oh, you're sleeping. I'll just leave this here for when you wake up, then. Mr. Mulligan, are you awake? No, of course not. You're in a coma. Duh. All right, let's just go down the checklist until the nurse gets here. Pulse rate stable. Blood pressure not ideal, but hey, once the nurse gets here, we'll be fixing that up. Temperature normal. Magical energy looking fine. Okay, so that's that. And now we just have to wait for Nurse Chambers so we can give you your medication. Where is she? Well, it's just adding some drugs to the IV line. That's not so difficult. It's already here, I can just do it myself and save her the trouble. There you go. Oh my god, that's... I... No! That was the wrong medication! I gave him the wrong drugs! Oh my god! How... Okay, we can fix this. It's just, if I can just add this. Come on, God, why isn't this working? I just killed a patient. He's dead, and I killed him, and how could I do that? I'm so stupid. If I just waited, he'd still be fine, but instead I killed him. What?
The Trial of Memory Fairchild is a podcast written, directed, and produced by Samantha Seeley. Today's episode featured Grace Gibson as Memory Fairchild, Devin Moravec as Reed Song, Samantha Seeley as Dr. Gardens, Nicholas Burial as Slate Morrison, Zachary Ingersoll as Caldwell Cold, and Hannah Paymer as Judge Meridian, with additional voices by Rachel Little and Giovanni Zapata. Artwork designed by Grace Gibson. A special thanks goes to Colin Helb and Tara Moore. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about the show, email us at memoryfairchildpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.